Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 716 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is January 8th, 2023. We are in the new year already. Sorry for the late start. We had some technical challenges, but we are up and running. Hopefully, everything is coming through. We'll introduce our guests in just a second. If you are new to the show, we broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We also will put forward an audio version of this podcast at some point in time. So you can enjoy that while you're getting on you're hitting the gym, you're dancing to the oldies, something like that. We have a couple birthdays also. We want to make sure that we get to in just a second. But before it all goes to shit, I'm going to introduce our hosts. We've got Pete Chin on the podcast. Pete, how
Happy
you doing?
New year, everybody. Happy I'm new doing year great. Indeed. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am excellent.
Good.
Very, very good. I've got all kinds of things going off on my side of the world, but that's okay. We'll talk about that in a bit. Also on the podcast, Kim Woods. Kim, how you doing?
Hey, yeah, that's me at GamerGirl27. I'm good. And remember last week when I told you I couldn't hear the stream and I couldn't figure out why? Well, I figured out why. Apparently, when I plug in my microphone, the volume on my laptop instantly goes to putting it out through my microphone. Like, how that's supposed to work, I don't know. Anyway, I just fixed it so it actually pipes it through my headphones. I can hear things now.
Hey, that's great.
So, yeah.
Hopefully the chat can hear us. That's also the important thing. I know they can hear me. Hopefully they can hear you.
If we ever get anybody in the chat besides us.
Well, yeah. Look, that's what happens when you have technical difficulties and you start a little bit late.
Right.
But at some point we'll figure it out. On the show with no camera feed.
Boy.
Sorry.
I have it working now.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. Now you have it working. Well, that's okay, Robin. You will be the camera that is unknown.
Happy New Year, everybody. And I hope it's a fantastic new start of the new year. We appreciate you. We love you. Nice to be back onto the show. Sorry you don't have to look at my beautiful, beautiful face. I'll put my clothes back on.
It is a shame because you have a new style of hair. You went with a mohawk, which is kind of unusual. But,
And it's ginger.
I know. That was the other shocking piece to it.
Just for gingers.
Robin Tate, full ginger. So, just for transparency, we had some issues with some setups. And
it's
so
all my fault.
I wasn't going to go there, Robin.
It really is.
Wasn't going to go there, but it totally was.
I'll explain later.
I was the last minute kind of booting up OBS, trying to get it all going. And for whatever reason, Robin's camera completely just disappeared on me. So we just went with the no camera view for Robin. But again, I think for viewers, that's actually a good thing. You don't want to see the ginger mohawk. It's not pretty. All right. We got a couple birthdays. Dan Knapman. Hardly Dan.
He's older. Mention him before, but he's getting a double mention.
He is getting a double mention. Dan, happy birthday, belated nonetheless, because you have already had your birthday, and it says 43 here, but I mean seriously, we I think all agreed 73 was more accurate. So
yeah.
And then I have to be very careful how I do this birthday. I have to be very nice about this birthday, so I will. Michelle Chin turns 21. On the 9th.
21.
Is this factually correct?
Yeah.
It's generous.
But I thought her name was Tahara. Oh, there's another one?
What? What's the other one?
There's another Chin.
Oh, dear God.
They're not into wife swapping, Robin. No. They don't wife swap. Oh. At least not yet.
Well,
brothers be, you know. brothers do some funny things sometimes, so who knows? But as far as we know, Shell, how I know her, by the way. So when I saw Michelle, it like threw me off. I'm like, who's this Michelle person? I just know Shell. 21, happy birthday to her. And for that, we will play. I got a birthday song in somewhere here. Here we go. Okay, so that was a birthday song playing that nobody could hear. So I'm going to stop that right now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Shell and Dan. Happy birthday to you.
We can't beat that. That
was really good. You cannot. All right, let's dive in. I don't even know if my sound effects are going to be working right now. Let's see if the story time works.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Well, there's that.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, at least that worked. So the funny thing with the Steam Deck, the Stream Deck, every once in a while, settings you get these updates that happen and it fucks everything up. And so I think Robin and I both suffering from some of that. And so
no, it's all my fault.
Okay.
It is all my fault.
All Robin's fault. Let's start with you, Robin. Let's get an explanation. What the hell happened?
Well, okay, so it's to do with racing, but we'll get to that later. Sake. So,
yeah. God damn it, man!
Go figure.
Yeah, it's my fault. So completely. Do you want me to explain this now or later? Because
you can do it later. But you know what? I will just say this: I should have known it was racing, and something was fucking up because when Robin came on, his camera was Elgato, no signal. That was my first clue there was going to be a problem.
Yep.
But anyway. Okay, so Robin, besides fucking up the podcast, what else have you been doing this week?
Well, back to work this week. I suppose that was one of those things. Back to work on Wednesday-ish and then Thursday fully. God, it was a long week. Amazing. By lunchtime Thursday, it's as if you had never been away and you were in the middle of all the crap again. And January just seems to be like it's going to be one big administrative nightmare. I've got a big trade show at the bottom end of Ireland, which is 6 or 7 hours drive away. I am doing my best. I've got a trip to Italy the following weekend from that. And I'm trying my best to get out not to do it. But and just a lot. We've got sales meeting again. A lot of companies have their beginning of the year meetings. So we've got two meeting with our parent company and then our own one. That would usually be now, that would have been done, but it's been pushed into the middle of the month. So the whole month seems to be just meetings and paperwork. It almost seems like we've lost the month. Here, Christmas is over us. We did that mini one. So we all the kids got back to school on Thursday. And I think we're glad of that and get them back into some sort of routine again. But we had a nice time. Ate far too much, drank far too much, and sort of ready to roll again. Interesting to see what 2023 brings this year, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm fearful, but yes, I'm with you. Bring on 2023. It was
one of those Christmas, New Year times when usually I have a funeral to attend. And thankfully that didn't happen with me. Because usually that always seems to be some old person pops their clogs over Christmas time. And yeah, it's always... one of those days. So thankfully that was good. So hopefully this time next year we'll all still be here.
I hope so.
That is my plan at least.
Yeah.
Speaking of plans, Pete, what's been going on with you?
Well, I worked most of Christmas. I worked on Christmas Day, Boxing Day.
You are Santa, aren't you? You've really let the cat out of the bag.
I know. Yeah, it's something I've never done before, but I don't live too far from work now. And we got this problem in our boiler room where one of the drains is broke. It's backfilling into the boiler room. So I'm constantly having to draw out the water with a submersible pump or two. And it just keeps on coming. As you can imagine, with rain, it just doesn't stop. So it's been a bloody nightmare. So I've got next week off. I've worked most of Christmas. And I'm sorry I couldn't be on last week. But if I was on last week, I didn't spend much time at home. I would have been mincemeat. So I've got this week off, So I got 7 days off. So I didn't do much over Christmas. Like I say, I went in a lot of the time. And the one thing I have done is I bought some games on the PlayStation sales, December and December and January. So I purchased, Kim will be happy to know, Stray.
Nice.
I bought that. It was £20 and it should have been £25. Even though I got rid of it when I had the PS4, Marvel Spider-Man, I just bought it because it was pretty cheap. I can't remember how much it was now. I think it was like 11 quid or something like that. Maybe cheaper. I can't remember. Dying Light, that was pretty cheap as well. I think that was about right. 7 or 8 quid. So I thought I'll buy that. I've purchased Rayman Legends.
Oh, wow.
Because
it was cheap.
I'm after another game. I'm after another game that I could play local co-op with my son, and a game called Enter the Gungeon. What? That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, okay.
But that's another local co-op game that I can play with my son. So I bought that. I double dipped on Assassin's Creed, Valhalla.
Shocking to nobody.
I know. But at the same time, I got Watch Dogs Legion. So I've never played that before, and maybe one day I'll play it. Who knows? I don't know. So I got those, I think, pretty much over Christmas. I don't think I've got any more games, but I got quite a lot there to put in the library.
You did. That's quite the haul, Pete. So here's the thing. I think we need to document all these games and then see how many of them you actually play in the next 6 months. We'll give you a nice big window.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing is, without big God of War is, I probably won't play any, but there we go. We can talk about that later. Yeah, so I've had a spout of purchases, which I'm quite happy with. Did a bit of retail therapy as well when after Christmas, people just started to come back to work and I could go out for the January sales, and I bought a lot of trousers and T-shirts and socks and pants and all that jazz. I've had a new keyboard as well for Christmas, which is pretty neat. It's by you say Logitech, don't you? Logitech.
No, I say Logitech. That's the right way to say
Logitech.
It.
Yeah, Logitech.
There's weird people that say Logitech.
I call it Logitech as well. And it's a little pink keyboard, but because one of my favorite colors is pink, so it's a little pebble mouse and a tiny little keyboard that is pretty. It's pretty cool, nice and compact, so I can put my mixer deck on the side of my desk too. It's very silent, so that was one thing that I wanted. So Shell got me that for Christmas, so I'm quite happy with that. They're running pretty good. I don't need all the numbers at the side, you know, the number pad, because I have, I've got that on my work computer, and that's all I need that for, really. I've tried my decks out. Do you remember when I showed you my decks a couple of weeks ago? My Newmark DJ decks. My new Mark DJ deck, I don't know whether I'll be able to get it in. Oh, yeah, you can just
There you go. Just see it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
it's like magic.
I tried to have a go at that. It's bloody hell. It's like, it's quite difficult. I need some lessons, but
in fairness, Pete, all I would do the entire time with that mixing deck is just do the record scratch. Nothing else, just the record scratch.
Yeah. Right. No, I managed to do a bit of fading in and out and cueing my track right and syncing the BPM. I did a few things. Okay. Because
you know what I hear from this? You're not leaving your day job.
No. I'm self-taught on drums. And so some of the technicality, like, you know, some of the jargon I can pick up. Like auto loops and fades and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Just looking at drum machines. So, so this is like really scientific.
You need to talk to Stu.
No.
Does Stu have the big setup?
Yeah, but he'll probably he'll overpower me with loads and loads of technical stuff. I'm too fresh in the game to be speaking to Stu yet. He's totally professional and out in Ibiza, I think, at the minute, smashing parties.
And Josh Wilson did it in a big way as well.
Pete. Yeah, I know, but he's even better than Stu, though, isn't he? So, Josh would probably have more patience than Stu with me. So
he's the official moderator of the Poaching Nirvana whole big group as well.
Oh.
The guy that does a living out of mixing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so just starting out, and I'm enjoying it anyway. It was nice to listen to some tunes and put them all together a little bit, which, yeah, so I'm going to look into that a little bit more. And I fitted a new light in the office where I'm at. It's an LED light, and it's got like a funky backlight, which you can change colour to red, blue, green. I think that was the yellow, maybe. I don't know. But before, so I was looking like a big, like a bit like yours, Robin. Yep. Yeah, I got a little remote control as well. So, before I was looking kind of cream and not too good on a previous podcast. I can't remember when it was now, a few weeks ago. But I've changed my light, and that's good. I've watched some TV. One of the films I watched, which I really enjoyed, and I enjoyed the first one, Enola Holmes 2.
I need to
see
this.
Yeah, we watched it the other night. I actually say, I sent a message to Kim to say, you got to watch it because the shoulders are in it. Now, we did. Now, we watched the first one. The shoulders.
The shoulders, what's that?
The love of her life.
Okay.
Yeah. What's his name?
Always comes back to the dudes.
Yeah, yeah. From that TV program, what do you call it? God. The game.
The Witcher.
Yeah, what's his name?
Right,
Henry Cavill.
So he's Cavill. So that's Sherlock Holmes. We watched the first one a couple of years ago, and it's lighthearted. She's cute. I love all the turns to the camera and breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And we put the second one on. It is kind of stuff. I love the little her mother cameo. Helena Bonham Carter is really, really good in it as well. It's a good. Yeah, it's a night you could watch it with the kids. It wouldn't do any harm. So good, nice,
awesome fun.
We tried to
Debbie Does Dallas.
We didn't have much time over Christmas, so we just wanted to watch like light-hearted stuff, something very simple and family friendly. But we also watched the classic Little Shop of Horrors, and I can't remember I can't remember much of this film, but
In color, brilliant.
In color.
The classic. My God, you call it the classic.
Seymour,
my goodness.
Feed me.
Feed me, Seymour. I wanna be a dentist.
But it is a classic for us.
It is fantastic. I love it.
There's two other programs on Netflix that we've watched as well. One's called Glow Up, and it's almost like like the Great British Bake Offs and all those other types of competitions. But this one's to do with makeup and prosthetics. God, they're so good at all that. But it's a fantastic program. They get so many hours to do a certain style of makeup, or something that the judges choose to a subject to pick on, and they do a fantastic job, the makeup artists. And it's an elimination thing where they dwindle down to a winner overall, that they get probably 200,000+ pounds and a deal with a makeup artist. But that's good. And I watched another program called Traitor or Traitors, and they go to this Scottish castle, all these people, and there's three or four of them that know at the start of the game that they're traitors, and there's all these activities that go on, certain tasks that they have to do, group tasks, and they get to know one another as people, and the traitors get to murder off some of the team as the time goes on, and they have to just basically figure out who the traitor is. So it's trying to do some guesswork and some real good personality judging and a bit of a look with the votes. But that's a real good program to watch if you've got a bit of time on your hands and you don't mind watching that type of light-hearted stuff. There is a bit of drama here and there. They do get a bit mixed up in it, some of the folk, but it's very good. Yeah. So I've been quite busy despite having to do a load of work. I've done quite a lot over the past couple of weeks. So as well as seeing a couple of family members and doing some odds and sods. Yeah, it's been good. Yeah.
I would just like to confirm we actually have audio for everybody, which is nice. That's all. I just wanted to say that. Yeah. It was in the back of my mind. I'm like, do we really have audio? Is it all coming through? It is.
Yeah, it's
never
sure you can hear us. So
awesome. You should have said, Pete, we couldn't hear absolutely anything that you said then. That would have been much better. I would have totally felt that.
I don't want to relive that whole thing though. So yeah.
No.
I'm just kidding. Also, Pete, thank you for that.
No, it's all good. You know, you've been gone for a while. You've had a lot going on. We all have a lot to update on, so we'll try and get through it all. Kim, you are up next. Woo-hoo. What's been going on?
Well, you know, first of the year, it's a new year, so you know what that means. God. Yeah.
Is it a new like calendar type? Or have we transitioned to something more adult or?
Don't. Probably shouldn't get that started. No, it's still cats and Australian firefighters because, well, maybe I should put up a poll. What kind of calendar would you like to see on the show? I don't know, maybe not. Anyway, for January 2023, we have Dennis and Snow. So
nice.
There you go. So happy 2023, y'all, and we will carry this on again for another, 12 months. Well, technically now 11, but whatever.
Next year, we're buying you, by the way, the Filipino firefighters and guinea pigs calendar.
There you go. Other than that, let's see, New Year. So I'm trying to, after the last couple years of being burnt out pretty regularly, I'm trying to work out again. So that's been going decently somewhat, other than I pinched a nerve in my right arm. So there's no weightlifting for me right now because it just didn't seem like a good idea with the pinched nerve in my arm to be lifting weights above my head. So
just to tag on that, I have had oddly, I did something to my right shoulder. I do not know what, but like trying to sleep at night has been like, I've had to be taking like 4 Advil just to make it through the night. So
It starts like up here and it goes all the way down to my arm and it makes my fingers tingle. So someone told me that sounds like a pinched nerve. So
likely a pinched nerve.
Yeah, because I figure if I was having a stroke, I'd be dead by now. So,
Some might say it's the vaccine. Some might say it's old age. There's a real concern on my end. It might be like arthritis kicking in.
Well, I kind of wondered about that, because I have a lot of that in my knees and stuff. It might be arthritis. So who knows? We'll see. It's been about a week. So hopefully by this week, I guess technically it'll be over, I hope. But I'm kind of like tanked up. I'm popping the Advil. So we'll see how it goes.
This is a painkiller, I'll take it then.
Yes.
I've never heard that before.
Tylenol, Advil.
Oh.
Aspirin.
So, it hasn't been too bad. Oh, there's been mornings where I'm sitting here cradling my arm like this because you let it hang down and it hurts like super bad. But then there's other mornings I wake up and it's almost non-existent. So I don't know. I've just been kind of taking it easy then and going on.
I have some of them mornings. I let it hang down, and then other times it's non-existent. It's
a constant struggle, Pete. It's a constant struggle.
third world problem.
It's cold. It's cold.
Other than that, I bought a new RoboVac for the house because the shark that I bought, I think 2 years ago, was not doing a real great job.
Please name that Robin.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. I feel better now.
Alrighty. And it's so far been doing much better than the old one. It's even got the laser mapping, so it's not just drunkenly careening off of stuff left and right. So that's been kind of nice. So we'll see how that goes.
Once you name it Robin, it will start drunkenly just careening off everything. And
we'll have to see about that. In the game buying department, you will all be pleased. I bought Evil West over the holiday, so I'm sure it'll be in Game Pass very, very soon. Because that's my fucking luck. So, other than that, I think after the podcast, I think we're planning on going to watch Puss in Boots at the movie theater because Anthony really wants to see it. So I will, if we go to do that tonight, I will have a review for that next podcast.
If there's ever a movie title that just screams porn parody, it's Puss in Boots.
I know, right?
I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Kim.
Sure.
I guess that leaves me. So work, just like what Robin was saying, it was odd because Tuesday was real quiet. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, like towards the latter part, little uptick. And then Thursday, Friday, like everybody and their mother, like came out of the woodworks like, oh yeah, we forgot we needed to do stuff.
Yeah. By the way.
And it's all last minute. And so it's kind of driving me crazy. So that's been hectic. We had a crazy storm come through last night. It was a windstorm. We didn't really get a lot of rain from it, but the wind kicked up to 60 miles an hour. It was nerve-wracking in the middle of the night. You're just hearing these big like booms as the wind was just coming in like a sheet hitting the house. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate, no damage to our house, but just driving out, you know, outside of the area, just house after house, down trees everywhere. It was crazy. But yeah, so beyond that, I set up all of my modeling stuff. I started building an AT-AT Walker model. So I've been doing that over, last night, yesterday afternoon. And as I was doing that, I was watching, I finished up watching Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime. Solid. It's not like, oh my God, great, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Absolutely.
I'm almost through the second season.
Okay. So yeah, so this was second season. It's good stuff. I like and I can't remember the guy's name that plays Jack Ryan. He's from The Office.
John Krasinski.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And don't ever ask me to say his last name. Right. So John Krasinski. Yeah. He does a good job as a Jack Ryan kind of character.
Mike Krasinski.
I also watched a movie called Infinite. This is with Mark Wahlberg. It's okay. It's kind of, you know, one of those, you know, how to say it without spoiling it. Cause I think it's worth the watch, but it's not like Academy Award winning. You're going to be like, this is the greatest movie ever, kind of a flick, but it's a premise, I think, that's old as time of, you know, you've been reincarnated. You have these powers that you didn't know you had, and they get unlocked by remembering things. And that's the kind of general premise of it. And of course, there is a good faction and a bad faction to these people that are being reincarnated and trying to stop the end of the world. It's fun. And then I watched probably the greatest movie in a long, long time, Top Gun Maverick. I'd already seen it in the theater, but I decided to fire it back up. What a great movie. And the funny thing is, as I rewatched it, it is, and I think it was intentional, and I don't really recall specifically if they said it or not, but the story of Top Gun Maverick very much kind of echoes a lot of the original Top Gun. Yep. And yeah, and they do just some great little kind of callbacks to the original movie. So yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, absolutely you need to see it. And I think you'd be, I almost might buy it on 4K disc. I really like this movie.
Wow.
Last but not least, Pete, you reminded me, I actually won a keyboard from Extra Life, and it was supposed to have been shipped to me a while ago. I've never seen it.
Oh,
so
wow.
I need to get in touch with them and find out where the hell that my keyboard is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you received it finally.
No, it just reminded me I am missing this new keyboard.
Yeah, because I was like, is this be a mechanical keyboard or something like that? I think.
Yeah, it's a mechanical keyboard. It's, you know, specially painted for Extra Life. You know, who knows if I'll actually use it or not, but damn it, I want it.
have you had postal strikes in the US like we have in the UK? Because, oh, geez, man, we can't get anything at the minute, oddly. It's a nightmare. Totally relying on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. The world relies on Amazon.
And they wonder the record. They wonder what's wrong. That,
so here's the funny thing. Yeah. Amazon is so big out here that they actually outsource their shipping. Not only we have Amazon trucks coming through, we get UPS trucks coming through delivering Amazon packages, and the U.S. Postal Service delivers Amazon packages. In fact, I just saw a U.S. Postal truck drive by because they're delivering on Sundays for Amazon. So.
See, and the funny thing is, out here, we don't have an Amazon truck. It's all UPS or FedEx or...
Nah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a huge Amazon distribution center probably about 10 minutes from my house. So, all right.
You can go fetch it then?
I could not do that. I don't want to fetch it from the... I will do returns there. Because it's nice. You just walk up with your code. You scan your code and the little locker door opens up. You slide your return in and it closes and you're done.
Person on the other side. They just take it from you.
Legitimately, that is happening because there is you see there's a door and they usually have people on the other side and they're just taking stuff right out. Anyway, okay. I think that does it for what we have been doing. Kim, let's talk about the games that we get for free that we pay for in the year 2023 happening right now.
Alrighty. Your games with gold for January, which I can't say a lot about because I don't know. They're just kind of awful. We have Iris Fall, which is available now through the end of the month, and Autonauts, which will be available the 16th through February 15th.
Autonauts? What? That? Oh my God! That's the greatest game ever.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're two games I've never heard of. I'm assuming they're indie games, which there's nothing wrong with indie games. I've played my fair share, but some of these I just feel like they're reaching in a bag, pulling them out, and go, "Oh yeah, that'll work." Yeah.
They just want us to stop caring, Kim. That's what it is.
Oh, you know what? And I was one of the first people to go, oh, they're free games. What's the bitch about? But now I'm kind of getting to that point that, yeah. It's like, well, this is all it's going to amount to. Because I didn't even download last month. So that should tell you something right there.
Well, PlayStation's knocking it out of the park this month.
Yes.
Right. And then for on the other end of the spectrum, for PlayStation Plus this month, we have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order for the PS5 and PS4. Fallout 76.
And from Microsoft.
Right. Yeah, Fallout 76
just the irony.
For PS4, right? And then we have Axiom Verge 2 for the PS4 and PS5. So, yeah, PlayStation definitely got it this year, or this month. Your Amazon Prime games for the month, we have The Evil Within 2, Beat Cop, Breathage, Chicken Police, Faraway 2, Jungle Escape, and Lawn Mowing Simulator. Always simulating. And for your Epic Game Store, now through the 12th, we have Kerbal Space Program and Shadow Tactics Echo's Choice. And then coming up after that, you have First Class Trouble. So, don't know what the second one will be, but at least we know there'll be that one. So those are your free games for the month. Go pick them up or not. You know, whatever. It's up to you. So,
excellent. Well, I suppose we can dive into a little bit of what we've been playing.
Sure.
We're not going to spend too much time here because we do have kind of a recap looking back at 2022. That's what the main thrust of the show is going to be. But we could talk a little bit about Robin's troubles. So let's start there. Robin, the pedals.
Okay. So the reason why I'm not hosting the show tonight is because I messed it all up. So over the last 10 days or so, I've got some new stuff in. And it started off with this idea that I'm going to make my racing PC also handle my streaming, my live streaming for all my wonderful fans. Thank you. I appreciate you. And I thought, well, if I could separate that and make this PC here handle the stream, that would be great. And how could I do that? So I have to ship. So I bought this thing called an Elgato capture card HD 4K thing, but it couldn't handle the triple screens that I have. So I had to have done a workaround. I'm sure I'll make a video about it. So I got that sorted. And I did a little test stream the other night and it worked very, very well. But the problem was I couldn't see the stream or the chat, only on the screen above, and it was delayed on YouTube like other ordinary people have done it. So I ordered another new screen. And the screen arrived a few days ago and I wanted it to go sit portrait on the floor to my feet beside the racing sim. And of course, I didn't look at the details of the four different models that were available on the aforementioned Amazon, and I ordered one that could not go portrait, and it arrived, sent it back, and my portrait one arrived yesterday and got it set up, and it is cool. It really is. I sent it for some photographs up there of the sim is pretty much finished now. So there's that. I have added a set of the pedals. I'd mentioned I'd ordered those. They arrived a few days ago, the Hushenwald pedals from Sweden. They are just brilliant. They're taking a bit of getting used to. When I bolted them into the rig, I had to rebuild it all yesterday because they had moved slightly. Wow, that was them. That was them in the past.
That was a semi. Sorry.
So there's... These have a lot more force to them. The whole idea behind the pedals, it's like a real car. So when you push down, it gets harder to push. The problem was I had the load set on the brake pedal at 60 kilograms.
A little too much.
Yeah. So when you're pressing down 60 kilograms on plate steel, it bends the frigger. So my rig was actually bending and I had to rebuild it all yesterday. And so so it's a lot of force. So I've nerfed that down to about 45 kg. It takes a lot of effort to push that brake pedal now, but it gives you a lot more control. So there's that. So there's the portrait thing, the pedals, Oh, and now, do you know one thing I also done as well? I went premium on YouTube. I'm spending so much time on YouTube at the moment. Have you noticed how many adverts are coming up? It's every like 2 minutes now.
Oh, yeah.
2 or 3.
They're forcing the hand to go premium. I did the same thing, Robin.
But it's 15 quid or 16 quid a month. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to stop it, but I do have premium, yeah.
Yeah, well, just today I put on the 1 month trial and premium. And they bundle in YouTube Music, which I don't want. And you can't not have that. So it's unbelievable the difference it makes. So, yeah, that's why. So because I've been changing lots of audio settings here, I'm using OBS Streamlabs, not OBS, for the racing stream, which I will eventually probably introduce to here because it is really, really cool. I messed up with a lot of audio settings, and that's what it was my fault entirely.
We
that's why we're late.
No.
I know. I'm really, really sorry about that. So a new season of ACC LFM Coach Dave Sprint Series just started last weekend, and it's now on to season 9. We were off to Brands Hatch. I'm in a brand new car. There's lots of videos up there about how I selected my car on my YouTube channel. Yes, well, they're all green. All my cars will be green.
Okay.
So I'm away from a McLaren and a big Mercedes-Benz AMG now. And it's a big, big, fat green machine beast. So I had the very first race of the new season. Sorry, Greg. Yeah. Was the Jolly Green Giant. It was last Sunday night, and I was in the very first race. And I had a fantastic race. It was really good. Qualified in the 18th, finished 9th. Great battle. I've got a little highlights reel up there on the channel, and it was great, and it had all sorts of drama in it. So we started off the season after the first round, 296th place. but that's okay. So the new track goes live tonight in Barcelona. I'll probably do a race tomorrow evening. I'm going to do some practice tonight. I'll maybe stream the practice. So I see this year expanding that racing even more. The rig is fabulous on our WhatsApp channel. It's there now. It really is. I'm spoiled rotten with it. If you're sitting in that cockpit now, you've got three screens with the game. You've got a screen above with YouTube or data or technical information. A 10-inch screen to my right with live data for driving. And then on the floor down is a 24-inch portrait screen with all of the streaming information. It is kind of cool with all the LED lighting and four cameras around me and extra LED overhead lighting. And it's awesome. I've ordered an emergency stop switch. So it's coming from the States, I believe, and it connects in because the force feedback wheel is so forceful. There's a big red button that will go on the rig to stop everything in case I get caught up in it all. So more racing. The YouTube channel continues to grow. Thank you very much, anybody that subscribed. Please go to Robin Tate. Bongo's Bits have renamed it, the channel from Bongo Bits to Robin Tate, but either or will do. And subscribe and like and join the fun of an owl fella. Racing and showing these young whippersnappers what it's all about. So, definitely. Yeah, I'm still getting my kicks en route, whatever, round and round in circles.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was me. That's me. That's what I've been doing.
Okay. Thank you for that, Robin. Pete, why don't you go next?
Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier in my purchases, I bought Rayman Legends and... I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we were playing Super Bomberman R, and we've completed that now. So we were out of games. We played the story mode and completed all that. So I just wanted to find another game that I could play local co-op with my son and come across Rayman Legends, and it was really cheap on the PlayStation 5 or PlayStation Store sale. So I just thought I'll go for that. And we've only played probably 3 stages, I think. I don't know anything about this game, really, to be honest. Have you ever played any before? Is this...
Not really.
No.
Rayman Legends? Rayman Legends.
Or any of them.
Well, the Rayman Legends one's brilliant. I've completed it. It is absolutely fantastic.
I played a smidge.
Have you been through the Black Betty level yet?
No.
So there's quite a few sort of special levels which are set to music, and your jump. So a lot of your thing is running around puzzle finding, but there are sort of like continuous run, you know, like on a phone game. So you're a continuous run. You have to keep running, and the jumps are timed to the music. And the Betty one is just probably one of the best platforming levels you'll ever come across. Cool. And you will
mention a great song.
All the way through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fabulous game. Really, really good.
So yeah,
and there's so much to it.
I'm really blown away by the visuals. Really, it's just a very pretty game. It reminds me very much of Ori and the beautiful Robin. Ori and the is it Willy of the Wisp or something like that?
Or in the Blind Forest, or the Will o' the Wisp. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic visuals, just a beautiful game. And you know, as well as that, it's very fun. It keeps Leo amused as well when he's playing, because he gets bored very quickly. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic game so far. But like I say, I've only played 3 stages. But do you know, have you got younger siblings?
No.
All of it. No. Okay. Well, one thing happens. years ago when I used to play video games with Mike, and he was a tiny little kid, and I'd sit there and we'd play local co-op games. And when kids get, well, I suppose Kim, you'll know as well. We're playing along with your nephews and stuff. When they'd just going a little bit too far, or they're jumping ahead of a level when you just think, hang on, we just need to go this way and explore and just get this extra coin or get this. Because I'm that type of player that really likes to explore levels and find all the hidden gems. And so, and Leo's just like, I just want to get to the end. I don't care what else to do. I just want to get to the end of the level. So I feel like I'm just like, no, just come back. I'm just doing that a lot. And I'm just like, I don't want to feel like I'm chasing the team, but I'm just like, oh, come on. But it's, we have good fun playing it. It's I'm looking forward to getting further into the game. But like I say, I've only played 3 stages, and it's more time that I get to play those type of games with my son as well and experience something with him at the same time as well. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed that. I've completed Super Bomberman R, like I said.
Real quickly, by the way, Pete, I infer from your commentary about having younger siblings, talking inadvertently kind of roundabout way about Mike, I think what I'm taking from this is you're saying Mike is shit at video games.
He was, but he got a lot better.
Did he really?
Well, he got better than me on Call of Duty. I know that, but I don't know. You probably played him on Halo.
We need to have like a grudge match. I think that would be fun. Maybe we can pick a fight again with the veteran gamers, and we can have a grudge match game and have some fun with that.
If it's Street Fighters, I'll totally nail him. But yeah, there we go.
All right.
So I played Super Bomberman R with my son again, and we completed the story mode. So instead of just playing the versus, you know, the multiplayer stuff, we also played a story mode, which is very similar. It's got some comic outtakes comic style outtakes and designs and sketches in between each of these matches, but it's very much just still Bomberman. It's very Japanese style as well. You know, he was very enticed into it straight away, Leo, because it just like the simple artwork and simple animations and very like high pitched talking and just like the anime stuff as well. You know, he's just into all that. Being a young one, it just catches him straight away. So we enjoyed the story mode. It was good, but we've completed all that, and it was very similar to like Mario, when you've got 8 worlds and each world has got 8 levels, and you've got a boss at each. On the end of each world as well. So that was good as well. I like boss fights. They're always good. And talking about boss fights, I've also been playing God of War, and I've not played that much of it really since the last time we spoke. I think I'm up to around 23 hours now into the game. But I was talking to Mike 2 days ago when he come. No, yesterday when he come round, and apparently I've got nowhere. Like I've just
it's
said,
it's a pretty long game from my understanding.
Yeah, it is, and I like to, like I said before, I like to explore. I like to find all the nooks and crannies and the extra treasure chests and little collectibles, and I like to really just find every corner of the map that I can. And there's some, they're kind of linear, but there's, you know, a kind of an open world feel to some parts of the, the game that I've played so far, where you can explore a little bit. And there's obviously some things that are just, you haven't discovered those powers yet to unlock those certain segments of the map. So you, there's chances of going back to that and revisiting those and getting more collectibles. But so I've been exploring everything, you know, and I've been going back and forth, and I'm over 20 hours in, and Mike says that I haven't got anywhere. So he's got a lot further than me. And he says, yeah, that you've got way more to go. And I've read up the average game, the finishing time is 25 hours. If you explore, apparently it's from 50 hours to 75. So I think I'm going to be heading towards that to complete that. But I'm loving what I'm playing so far. I think it's fantastic. And Mike said the same. Really, really enjoying it. I'm so glad about the purchase. Well worth it. And that's me, I think.
Excellent. Excellent.
Awesome.
All right, Kim, you're going to be next. And by the way, for those wondering, I am not going to be putting up any gameplay video, unfortunately, on this stream. I notice every time I try and open up another window right now, the audio is just going nuts on my end. So I have a feeling I have to reset my router.
You're chugging.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Kim.
Alrighty. Not a whole lot. Kind of the same old, same old. I'm still plugging away at Phoenix Rising, trying to get all the chests open and stuff like that. I'm starting to kind of get bored with it. So, you know, I'm trying to finish up all the stuff I need to finish for some of the, I don't know if you would call it achievements or checkpoints or whatever, and then I'll go and fight the big bad. And whether I go on to finish some of the DLC, I don't know yet. Like I said, I'm kind of just getting bored with it. Spyro, there were some achievements I needed to get. So, of course, trusty old Spyro, because they're pretty easy to get. So, play some more of that. Hollow Knight, Voidheart, was one. It was on a Microsoft Rewards deal this week. And I kind of wanted to try it anyway, so I fired it up and tried it. It's kind of like Ori and the Blind Forest. It's a platformer sort of thing. It's not as bright and colorful as Ori. It's more bleak. And it's not bad, but I don't know that I'll be going back to that. I don't know.
I've heard good things about the Hollow Knight games, but again, if you've been playing a lot, you know, like the Spyros, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I thought I was going to get really stuck in because it's my sort of game, like, you know, that sort of platformer. And I played it for quite a bit, but it just, it got too, I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Right.
That, what is it? You die and you go back to the beginning sort of thing. And
yeah, that gets
like
old.
A roguelike.
Yeah, that frustrates me terribly. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I guess maybe the biggest one maybe this week is I played a little Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer today.
Yes. With no invite to me, I think.
It was kind of like a on the seat of my pants sort of thing. So next time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, because me and Boomer was talking right before I got off that you had the game too, and that maybe we need to set up some sort of like Friday night game night sort of thing, possibly.
Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, so I played. We tried to get quick play to work, but for some odd reason, it wouldn't. It kept telling me I had to boot one of us out because we didn't have something. So I don't know. I have to figure that out. So anyway, we just went to the shipment. Was it 24/7, whatever the hell it is, and just pretty much played shipment the entire time, whether it was kills confirmed or deathmatch or whatever. And you know, it's COD. My reflexes are terrible, and I'm used to Battlefield, which is a little slower. So, in normal fashion, I got my ass handed to me a lot, but it was fun. So, you know.
So if you want to try something a little different, do the Tier 1, which think of it as hardcore mode. So they get rid of them. You don't have the radar. You don't have any aiming reticles either.
Right.
So, you know, if you aim down your scope, you'll have your scope, but you don't get the on-screen reticle. So you can't hip fire real easy.
Right.
I enjoyed that mode a lot.
It is a good mode, and what I tend to do is put a little bit of like blue tack or something on the screen, so you get to pick up that radical.
Cheating bastard.
Yeah, but it works. It's really, really good. Hidden tips.
All right.
So yeah, no, it was like I said, it's COD. I've been playing it off and on for years, so it's you know, it's nothing new, but it was fun to get in there. Like I said, Boomer played, and my nephew Colton was here, and he's getting into video games and all that, and he sat there and he played spotter for me. He was supposed to point out all the bad guys, and so I could shoot them. And well, you know, he's four, so it's a little hit or miss. And let's face it.
Probably spotting like I would. Oh, look, yeah. A bird. Oh,
right, look.
There's a car.
And, the thing is, though, have you team killed by doing that?
Right.
Yeah, there is friendly fire. I found that out right. The hard way.
Well, I don't think we had any of that because it seemed like every time I'd spawn, I'd shoot at somebody and then realize, oh, it was a blueberry because, of course, they've got blue over for their team. And something I always did back in the Battlefield days was because the other team, they were blue, so I would call them a blueberry. So while we were sitting there doing that, I'm like, oh, wait, that's a blueberry. So by the time Colton was done helping me play Modern Warfare today, he was going around calling everybody blueberries. So I had to explain to my brother and sister-in-law why all of a sudden their son was saying blueberry. So.
Okay.
I'm like, well, you know, it could have been worse. He could have been saying some of the other stuff that was coming out of my mouth at the time, which was not good. Which Boomer will understand because we played shooters for years together. So he knows what my Tourette's syndrome is like when that shit happens and I'm getting my ass handed to me. Yeah.
Basically, good thing he wasn't saying fucking blueberries.
So yeah, it was good. So like I said, some night, Friday night or something, we'll have to get a bunch of us together and play COD. So I'm
absolutely. And I will just say this also, a good PSA, figure out your control scheme before you get into a tier one game, because just accidentally lobbing grenades, not necessarily good for the team.
No, probably not.
All right. So real simple on my end. All I have played, I mean, I played a little Halo multiplayer on Wednesday with Martin. We had a great time. We kicked ass. We were like 7-2. Well, Phil joined halfway in. Martin and I started off 3-1, and then Phil joined and we went 7-2. So I would just like to point out that normally Luis is there. Normally we have Robert playing with us. You know, that's a mixed bag when they're playing with us. And this time around, we dominated without them. So I'm just saying, normally we think of us as being the handicaps. However, proof might be in the pudding. You know, Snoogans and playing skills might be the handicap. Just saying. Okay. Celesta is the other thing that I played a ton of. I just continue to love this game.
Yeah, deep you're playing dive that Friday that. Night.
I was. I've been just... There's something about it. It's just an old school RPG, and it's isometric. It's got all of the nuance of D&D into it. So that's like in its DNA is D&D built into it. So the rules, the dice rolls, all of it, it's all there. And it's just been scratching that itch for me. So I've been enjoying that.
Good.
But yeah, so that's it for the games we've played. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. We're going to do a little bit of a game review for 2022. Now, what does that mean? We have a couple different categories we have created. And I'll go through the categories real fast. But this is just kind of looking back on 2022 and a little bit of looking forward to 2023. So the game you played most, your biggest surprise game, your biggest disappointment game, the game you feel you should have played and or played more of but never did. The top visuals game. Now, this can mean a lot of things. It could be, you know, obviously graphics and, you know, kind of a straight on graphics god kind of thing. Or it could be, you know, you just really like the color aesthetic of the game, that kind of thing. And then finally wrapping it up of kind of where we stand now, most anticipated for 2023. So that's kind of the rule set we're playing with. Also wanted to just let everybody know that Evil West is now on Game Pass. just kidding. Not yet.
It won't be long, all right. Though.
So we'll start it off. Robin, we're gonna go with you. I feel like this is going to be shocking to everybody. What was your most played game of 2022?
Well, would you believe it? It was a set of Corsa Competizione, and it's 115 hours. Oh, sorry, that's only on Xbox. Plus of 240 hours on PC. Wow. That's 355 hours on the Assetto Corsa combined this year.
That's an insane amount, and kind of a short window, to be honest, because I feel like this addiction, that's what I'm going to call it, your addiction kicked in
September.
Yeah, I was going to say right at the end of August, September, because August you were liking the game, but you were playing it on Xbox, and you were like, I'm going to do the PC thing. Yeah. So,
PC, so the rig, let me see, GT Omega. Yeah, when did it arrive? The GT Omega rig arrived, I think it was in September. that's a lot of time since then, isn't it, really? I am not a robot. Go away.
Real fastly, in the chats, Snoogans in his bad back. Whatever, my man. We kicked ass without you. I just want to say that. And shame on you for putting sleep above playing Halo Infinite. I'm just, that was the most disappointing thing that came out of Wednesday. Anyway, so yes, Robin, you have played a shitload.
So the rig arrived on the rig bit arrived middle of June, but the PC wasn't built until the beginning of September time. So I didn't start playing on Steam until September. So that's 240 hours from September until now. That's kind of nutty, isn't it? Wow.
That's 15 days. Yeah, that's a lot of your life right there. And it's only going to get worse. I mean, better.
Well,
that's what I meant.
Well, there's a balance between wife and life and gaming. And so generally that is off an evening, a couple of hours, scratch an hour. Judith, I'm going out for exactly 1 hour and a timer is set on my watch sort of thing. So
I like it.
Yeah. That's sort of a balance there. So yeah, that's for me. Biggest, the longest, most played game, 355 hours.
Kim, before we get into yours, real fast, I know we've got some people getting into the chat a little on the later side because we got a late start. Let's give them some shout outs and obviously explain why Robin fucked us over.
Alrighty. We have Boomer in the chat, Snoogans is in the chat, and Lord just showed up. So welcome, fellas.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to everybody. And that brings us to you, Kim. Let's talk about what game was your most played?
I had to think about this for a little bit, but I'm pretty sure it was Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, it's another racing game. I do believe it because every once in a while I get all your true achievement notifications. Kim is playing. And so I always see Forza Horizon 5 popping up in my Twitter timeline. So,
Forza Horizon 5. I don't know how many hours, but there was quite a few. So,
and have you bought any of the DLC that go with that game, or is it just been straight game?
No, I got the Hot Wheels DLC for it. So,
all right.
Forza
Horizon 5. Okay. Yeah. I will go next. Halo Infinite, I'm pretty sure that is my most played. Although Celeste's starting to creep up on it, because I've been playing a ton of that just to nonstop, but I do think Halo Infinite really needs the nod here because I have been playing that all year long, especially just on Wednesdays in particular, when I'm on lunch hour. Mm-hmm. Pete, tell me something shocking.
Well, I've been playing, Days Gone the most last year. I thought I put more hours into this, and I've just worked out how to look at how many hours you've been playing again on PlayStation. On PlayStation. Yeah, I've got into my profile, and you can go into games, and you can just see how many hours you've been putting into it. And I put 55 hours into Days Gone, which I thought I put a lot more than that, considering I've just looked at God of War, and I put 28 into that. I thought it was only 23. Yeah, so and I've managed to complete Days Gone, which was quite a long game. It was a bit of a grind, actually. A lot of like sandbox combat. You die a lot. It's a bloody nightmare, that game. But I managed to get through it, and I just thought I did it in more time than that. So anyway, but that's the one.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to move to the biggest surprise game for you. So Robin, let's talk about your biggest surprise.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I went and replayed the complete high definition version of Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. And when I played them originally, I really struggled through Mass Effect 1, and I couldn't understand why people thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. But they did make some tweaks to it, and I have to say that Mass Effect 1 was absolutely awesome the second time around. I just loved it, and I rattled through 2 and 3 and had a fabulous time with all three games. And the biggest surprise for me was how much I enjoyed them and how much it just sucked me back into that whole universe again. I'd love a movie. That would be a great movie.
So, yeah. I would love a Mass Effect movie on one hand, and I'm very fearful of what they would do to Mass Effect in a movie. So, you know, it's kind of like you're careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Pete, yeah, well, amazing magic trick there.
Yeah, it was good. He disappeared over the wall.
I know.
Did I?
Yeah. In fact, you're just taller than Hadrian.
All right, Kim, your biggest surprise, and this actually surprises me, but your biggest surprise is?
Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah. Now what made this your biggest surprise? Is because it's a racing game that you like?
Well, that and... you know, I actually played so much of it because the last one, I barely scratched the surface of it before finally I'm just like, all right, done with that, and moved on to something else. And this one, I mean, I've driven all the roads. I got all the signs. I mean, you know, that's surprising to me because normally this is not something I would stick with. Of course, it helped too because Boomer was playing it. And we did a lot of nights where we both played it together and did things. So, I mean, I guess that was part of it, but it's surprising. I don't know if that's what you meant by the biggest surprise, but for me that was, because otherwise I didn't really have a game that was, you know, a big surprise necessarily.
Well, you know, this is a category, and the reason why I did the categories the way I did them is I wanted to be different than what we normally get,
right?
You know, game of the year and this and that, you know.
Right.
So it could be whatever you want it to be. So biggest surprise for you was the fact that you loved Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, I stuck the game with it for so long. Because I remember that one year during Extra Life, Robin did the one and drove all the roads and stuff on it. And, I mean, he just about drove me bonkers, I think. And so I was kind of surprised with this one. I actually got all the roads. So, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, High on Life was my biggest surprise. And you know, this comes on the heels of the demo that we saw coming out of E3, which I was so disappointed by what I saw. I was just like, this game is just not, this is going to be horrible. I don't think I want to play this game. And so I had completely written it off to the point of like, I had no desire to download it or even check it out at that point, even though it was going to come to Game Pass.
Right.
And then some pre-reviews started coming through and they were surprisingly positive. And oh, Robin, I don't know what Robin just did, but I'm concerned. Anyway, so I was just okay. It's getting some decent reviews, but you know, again, you always wonder kind of preview, are they being just a little generous to be generous? But no, I have played a good chunk of this game. I have not finished it yet. That's actually on my to-do list this coming week. I genuinely like the humor of this game. It is funny. It does have, you know, it can be over the top with the swearing at times, but overall, I don't find it overly offensive and just too much. And that was my big concern coming off of that one boss fight they showed. And I've played that boss fight. And now in the context of all of that, it's fine. It is not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And the actual game, going through, listening to your guns talking back to you, and then also just the enemy characters or characters you come across in the game, there's just hysterical conversations that happen. And for me, the real aha moment was in that actual loading of the game. When I first fired it up, there's this like kind of tutorial stage that's setting the stage for the entire premise of the game. And there's a character selection moment where you're looking into a mirror. And part of it is because you're being handed some cocaine with the option to take some cocaine. And it's on a mirror. And so you see your shadow of your face and you're supposed to pick your face. Well, my faces weren't loading in. The game glitch was happening where it wasn't loading properly. But that was okay because I didn't realize that was happening. And I was just listening to the other character talking to me, who happens to be your sister. And she just rambles and rambles and rambles. And it's just nonstop about all this crazy shit going on in her high school life. And it's hysterical. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so true to life. And so at that point, the game had pulled me in, and I was just on board, fully on board. So yeah, high on life, my big surprise for the year. And then my proudest moment is coming up right now for Pete, your biggest surprise. Let's talk about this.
It was quite a surprise for you, I think. But as some of you do know, I am a big Gears of War fan. I love the Gears of War series on Xbox. I just think it's phenomenal. Ever since my brother introduced me to Gears 1 and he was trying to get his seriously one achievement with the 10,000 kills, and I was just blown away by this game. It's brutal. Yeah, it's just an amazing story. And yeah, even at number 5, I just think it's just great. It just continues to be brilliant. But the thing I hadn't played was Gears Tactics. And as some of you know as well, strategy games just ain't really been my thing over the years. But I fired this up purely on recommendation from Greg, and I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant. I played it all the way through, as tough as it was towards the end, and as frustrated as it can be, I did enjoy it. I haven't played, is it XCOM, the other one that you said to play? I haven't played that yet. But I might
have to buy that for you, Pete, just to. I'm actually now creating another category, your proudest moment from this past year. We just actually talked about it, so that's mine. Anyway, no, that is awesome. I loved hearing that, Pete. When you said that, I was so ready for you just to be like, yeah, it was shit. I hated it. And then you're like, I really liked it. And I was just like doing cartwheels.
Bring on the expansion packs. Bring on the expansion packs or a Gears Tactics 2. Yeah, that's cool, man. I loved it.
Okay. Well, cool. We will transition from biggest surprise to our biggest disappointment. So, Robin, you were up first and you're going controversial here.
Yeah, sorry, I just got a WhatsApp message. I have a meeting at 9:30, 2 hours away tomorrow morning, which I had completely forgot about. And it was one of my sales guys going, are you still okay for that meeting in the morning that I asked you to attend? Yeah.
Whoops.
Anyway.
So what you're saying is speed up.
No. No. My biggest disappointment this year is Cyberpunk 2077. I just couldn't get into it, and after hearing everybody going on and on about it and how wonderful it was, it just didn't grab me enough. And I think I put about 10 or 12 hours into it, which is probably only scratching the tip of the iceberg. But I'm disappointed in myself for not liking it, so sorry.
Hey, you don't have to beat yourself up over that. I mean, obviously we all have different likes. I remember when I first tried Cyberpunk, I did not get on with it. And I was kind of like, I don't know that I'm going to like this game. And then I just redid the entire thing. I basically started over and I paid attention this time. And I think that was my biggest problem, was I was playing a little bit and trying to come back to it. And I felt like once I really paid attention to the story, I got hooked into it. But I think that you need that. You need that element.
I think if you remember just at about that time, I came off the back of playing Mass Effect 1, 2, 3 back to back.
True.
And that might have been, burnt out on big stuff. So,
yeah. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, sorry. That's it for me. Yeah.
Okay. Kim. What's your biggest disappointment from 2022?
This is kind of maybe not right and not wrong, but whatever. That there was no Dragon Age or Fable at all. And I don't really expect there to be, because I don't figure we'll get it even this year. It'll probably be next year or maybe 2 years down the road. But it was still kind of a disappointment.
Now, is it disappointing because literally no news came out about it at all? Is that really the disappointment?
Yeah, I think maybe that's a lot of it, because really I didn't expect there to be a game, because really that's crazy. But yeah, there wasn't much in the way of news about it. And although I guess they did debunk the deal about Fable having to be scrapped and restarted. Apparently that didn't actually happen. So that's, you know, that's good news. But yeah, maybe. Like I said, I didn't really have a real big disappointment this year. I don't know if it's just because the games I played. I don't know. But
okay.
Yeah. So that was just me. Right. And that's kind of a reach. So yeah.
No, you know what? Again, we will make these categories what we want of them.
Right.
So I actually have another one I just thought of that can be in this category of your biggest disappointment. Although it's unfair to say Persona 5 was my biggest disappointment because I figured I would not like it going in.
Right.
But dear God, I did not realize how much I would not like it once I played that. I thought, oh, maybe it won't be as bad as it. No, that was just horrible. Thank you again, Lewis, for making me do that, bastard. Right. But I'm going to say Phoenix Point is a big disappointment for me. And I love this game. But the big disappointment for me is there really is a difficulty spike in this game that happens as you get further into the grind of the game. And that frustrates me right now. You feel, you know, and it's very XCOM-y in a way. But even tweaking the difficulty settings doesn't seem to alleviate the difficulty spike. And so that to me is a disappointment. It's just kind of like it makes me not want to try and finish the game now because I feel like I am in a zero sum. There's no way out of where I'm at. And I've already logged a good 100 plus hours into the campaign that I've been in. So, yeah. So Phoenix Point probably ranks up there. The Starfield delay also was a big disappointment. I was really looking forward to that game. I was very shocked it got delayed. I thought it might, you know, come in a little hot. Maybe they'd have a day one patch type thing, but to see it get delayed out completely, you know, and Redfall with it, but Starfield for me was the big draw. That was the one that I was really looking forward to. So, yeah. All right, Pete, let's talk about your biggest disappointment. And I think this is, disappointed in your shopping skills at the end of the day.
Yeah. One of my biggest disappointments is not being able to get a PS5 earlier than I could do, but I suppose I was at the mercy of the online queues. But I managed to get one eventually through Very, the catalog service in the UK, which I was blessed to get that. But one disappointment for me was there was a game that I've been looking out for, and I do like my post-apocalyptic games. And I do like MMOs and, exploring these big, vast maps and stuff. But there's a game called The Day Before, and it's supposed to have got released in June of 2022. And its release date now is going to be the 1st of March this year. It's online. Multiplayer game, it's a shooter, survival. It's a little bit like, it reminds me of PUBG, but it's obviously got an element of Back for Blood and, you know, these zombie survival games. There's even the sounds, you know, the sounds are great on it, and it does remind me of PUBG, and the gunfire echoes across the landscapes, and zombies can pick up like, you know, where the bullets are coming from and stuff. It's just it's published by Mytona, should I say, and it's just something that I'm excited to have a go at. I hope I just don't end up playing it and it ends up being like a cyberpunk for Robin, but who knows? I've got a list of a few games that I'm looking forward to for this year, and this is one of them. So I was disappointed about that delay, but there we go. It's to add to the list for.
Hey, I like it. In fact, that now will be kind of on my radar to kind of learn a little bit more about it. Let's move to the next category. Game you feel you should have played or played more of but never did. So, Robin, this feels similar to your disappointment.
Yeah, fantastic game that was earlier on this year when I was sort of rebooted. And I really, really felt that I should have given it more time. And went back to it again. Was Cyberpunk 2077 actually? That's one that's I feel guilty about.
Do you ever foresee yourself trying to go back to it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say no.
It's a time thing, Greg, honestly. So all right. What do I do? So
you get, it's that racing rig. It's not the time.
It's 100% it. You know, his passion now is in that cockpit.
It's not that. No. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But my even though I got those 300 and whatever it was hours in, my time is limited because of my life. So maybe.
Nope. You want to make the best of it, don't you? And you get the best out of your time on that, aren't you?
Okay. Fair enough. Kim, talk about your game you should have played a little bit more of or played.
Okay. Well, for Xbox, it was Cult of the Lamb. Because I started it and, I don't know, I started playing Phoenix Rising, got pulled into that. And so Cult of the Lamb just kind of went by the wayside. And I eventually will go back to that. It just, you know. And then pretty much anything that I own on the PlayStation 5. Because I did really good for a while. Because I was playing on the Xbox. And then I was playing Kena and Stray on PS5. And I was doing real good with that. And then it just kind of got to the point, well, I only have so much time. And I really want to get this done on Phoenix or whatever. And yada, yada, yada. And then the PS5 just kind of sat there. So, yeah. You know. So I'm going to try to get back to it again. Because... you know, I have some really good games on the PS5. It's just, it's kind of like Robin's deal, time, you know. Yeah.
Well, it is the challenge also of being a multi-console owner. Mm-hmm. In that finding time to put onto one platform or the other, you kind of get sucked into one, and then that becomes your go-to.
Right.
So, for me, it was Elden Ring. I started Elden Ring. There's nothing I don't like about this game.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it and this is going to sound a little odd based on, you know, me diving into other very long games, but the commitment and the time to play Elden Ring, it's intimidating to me. And I don't know that I really will go back to it. I want to, but then there's a part of me that's just like, I don't know that I can.
Right.
So yeah, Elden Ring tops my list for sure. Pete, what about you?
God of War, Ragnarok for me. I really love that game. I'm enjoying playing it. It's just with all of the stuff that's gone on over the Christmas period, I was really hoping to get some time into that, complete it, see it off, close the book, move on to the next one. But work took over and I couldn't help it. I've had to go in. So that's my biggest biggest sadness of this year of the games that I've really wanted to put more time into. But
I will say this. I feel pretty confident you will go into God of War Ragnarok, though. You will revisit this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been playing it, a couple of hours as much as I can get into it just recently. Right. But I've got this week off. So, as soon as Shell says to me, do you fancy playing a game? I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm straight on it. See ya. And I'm going to be sticking some time into it. So.
She's going to be like, do you fancy playing a game with me? And you're going to be like, no.
I do want to play, actually, because I played It Takes Two, you know, with Shell. There's that other game that the same developer made called A Way Out. So I'm going to play that with Shell. That is one thing that we can do. So, but right. Yeah. God of War is
excellent. Okay. So now we get into, I think, a little bit more traditional category, but this is top visual game for you out of last year. This can mean whatever you want it to mean. So Robin, what game for you was your kind of top visual game?
I absolutely love not just visual, but audio. A little weird game called The Artful Escape, and it really caught me. It was this weird guitar playing folk singer, rock singer with aliens and psychedelic colors. If you were high, you'd probably, this is what you would see.
I agree.
You know, it was so like, what is going on? And it was just, it was so well put together, not terribly long, fun, funny, weird, and just a fabulous platforming style, side-scrolling adventure that was a unique experience and beautiful to look at. Cartoony style graphics, but very, very rich and a fantastic imagination. And those guys really, when they were writing it, must have been high.
They had to have been.
So yeah. So it was I would thoroughly recommend looking at the little game, putting 4 or 5 hours into the Artful Escape.
Okay. Yes. I like it. Kim.
You know what I liked about the Artful Escape? That it had Carl Weathers in it. So mm.
Yep.
Yep.
That was good too. Yep.
Yep. That was a good one. My two top visual gifts, because I kind of had two, was actually, and they're PS5 games, which is surprising. It was Stray and Kingdom, Bridge of Spirits. So, I mean, because you had Stray, which is kind of like the cyberpunk, well, cats. And then Tina was kind of, you know.
Cyberpunk cats.
Well, kind of. It was kind of cyberpunk with cats. And I haven't finished it yet, so, you know. But, yeah, and then you had Kena, and it was the art style was really nice on it. So,
yeah,
those were my two.
Yeah, I think Stray, for me, the one thing that really stands out is just how well they captured the cat.
Right.
I mean, it is so realistic in its movements and how it gets around the environments that to me, that was, yeah, right. That was pretty brilliant. Okay. For me, Modern Warfare 2 single player. So this is absolutely me just being like, yeah, no, visually speaking, this game is just drop dead gorgeous. And yeah, it's Call of Duty. And I kind of don't like to just drum the beat of Call of Duty all the time. But I was pretty blown away by Modern Warfare 2, the single player. I did not expect me to enjoy that campaign as much as I did, but also just visually speaking, for me to see it and think, wow, this really looks great, because all the other campaigns have always looked good. And so I kind of just expected, you know, okay, I'll enjoy what I see. But I was really, really taken aback by how good this game looked. So yeah, Modern Warfare 2 for me, the single player in particular, was fantastic. Pete, you've left this blank. This is a big surprise.
I completely forgot about to fill this one out. But it's
for
it's
fuck's
not
sake,
gonna
take... Pete. We oh, ask no. you one thing, man. One thing.
I know. It's actually Wonder Boy. I think my favorite visual game for 2022, and I completed it in 2022, so it's not from that, but it's probably It Takes Two.
Okay.
It was phenomenal. It sound as well as visual, a great story. It just pulls you straight in, and I thought it was very smooth, slick. I just loved it from start to finish. I love all that boss fight element, like I said before. It's just great, you know. I've really enjoyed it. We both enjoyed it as a couple, something that we've never done before. It was just a moment for me. And, you know, with how beautiful it was, you know, on the screen of how well it plays and how good it looks and whatever. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's for me, that was my game. You could say, you know, you look at God of War and you think, oh, you know, there's just great visuals on that. But I don't actually think it's much different to number four. The only thing that's really doing that now is the story and the characters that, you know, that make that game and how connected you are to the characters. Visual-wise, I don't think it's that much different. I'm going to go for It Takes Two. That really got me.
Okay. No, it's a great pick. You know, I feel kind of the same way about A Plague Tale Requiem. I really liked it visually, but I also didn't feel like it was a huge step up from the previous one. So, yeah. But okay. All right. So now we're going to look ahead. And this is what is a one game, or in some person's cases, multiple games you are most looking forward to in 2023. So Robin, this should shock nobody, but what is your game you're most looking forward to in 2023?
Yeah, well, although I play a lot of Simulator, which is a set of Corso Competizione Uni, which is a sim game where Sony has its Gran Turismo 7, Forza Motorsport was always that style of slightly lighter game, and it's due out in spring, whatever spring means of this year, and I intend to be all over that like a rash, and try to capitalize on its on the newness of it. and see if I can jump on that for a while. So yeah, so I'll balance between the two.
All over it like a rash. I'm going to steal that now. All right, Kim. And by the way, I love everybody's games. As I'm looking at the list here, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, forgot about that. So this is just fun stuff for me. Kim, talk about your most anticipated, which could be on my list too.
Alrighty. Yeah, same deal. I'm sitting there thinking, well, there's probably more, but this is one that came to the, you know, top of my brain while I was thinking about this. But it's The Wolf Among Us 2, which is supposed to be out sometime this year. So I really, really loved the first one. Yeah. So I'm very excited that we're getting a second one, because for a while there, it looked like it wasn't happening. And it really needed a second one with the way they ended it. So,
I'm
very excited about that one. So,
yeah, and for those that haven't played it, you go back, play Wolf Among Us. It's a Telltale game. It is a fantastic story. Very, you know, kind of the cel-shaded, unique art style. Highly, highly recommend.
It's so good. I think I've played through it like half a dozen times. So
can you get that now? Because I know that they fell through, didn't they? And you couldn't get that anywhere, and it just disappeared, that game. So
I don't know. That's actually a good question, Pete. I don't know. I don't think
you can, you know, because I wanted to play that game, and with the troubles that happened.
I have it, so it's in my library. So maybe that's why I'm like, oh yeah, you can go back.
You can still get physical copies out there. So okay,
there you go.
Probably, find you a physical copy.
And you can play it on Google on an Android or phone or on a iPad. It works very, very well on an iPad, you know, because so that would
style
it. The hand controls are cool for that.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. For me, it has to be Starfield. I am absolutely jonesing for this game. This is the epic space odyssey. It's a Bethesda game. I love Bethesda. I am all over this RPG. I cannot wait to build out my spaceship. I can't wait to travel to planets and just
Buck Rogers.
Absolutely Buck Rogers, 100%. Although it might have a little pirate in me, I'm just saying. So Starfield absolutely tops my list. There's some others. Atomic Heart is one that's coming out soon that I'm really excited for. It has a very I can't think of the name of the game series. There was a number of them. They had you were underwater, under the ocean. Oh God, it will come to me. Anyway, it's a certain game.
Subnautica?
No. It had the big baddies that had, they were in the diving suits. And they were protecting the little girls.
Bioshock.
Thank you. For fuck's sake. I don't know why I could not think of Bioshock. But yes, this has very much Bioshock vibes, but it's all set in Russia. So it's going to be interesting. Pete, let's go to your list. You've got a list. Not just one game.
I have got a list, but two game changers, I think, for this year. Hogwarts Legacy.
It's coming out soon.
I'm excited for this. It's April, I think, this is out, isn't it? Is it the start of April?
Maybe. I thought it was sooner than that, but maybe not.
I don't know. It could be February, actually. Anyway, I'll have a look while I'm talking about it. But the... 10th of February, 2023. There we go. But
around the corner.
Secretly do like a Harry Potter and the film series. And I'm just a bit, I don't know, I'm just interested in what this is going to bring. Is this going to be the game of the year that brings all these classic visuals? And like, is this going to be this big meaty game that everybody's going to love? But it could be a flop. I don't know. But, as far as anticipation, and is this going to drive visuals forward for this year? Could this be the one? I don't know. And the other one which I want to play is I bought in December was Spider-Man on the PlayStation, and Spider-Man 2 is due out this year as well. I know my brother's excited about this and he loved number one, so I'm thinking, right, I want to squeeze in that one before this one comes out. And again, this either could be something that's very much like God of War, where it's similar to number four, but a different story, and this could be the same pill but a different color. But it I don't know, who knows. But other games that I'm excited for: Street Fighter 6, to see what changes that brings. Assassin's Creed Mirage, because Valhalla just brought me back into the Assassin's Creed, the Assassin's Creed titles ever since, I think it was 2. That was the one that I played last, which everybody says is probably one of the best ones. I haven't played any of the others. But RoboCop, I've seen this and I was like, I haven't played a RoboCop since, like, was it the 90s when it came out? And
I don't think I've ever played a RoboCop game, but I absolutely love the RoboCop series. So,
It was arcade, I think it was.
And, okay.
The actor, I remember Robin talking about this. The actor, is it Peter or Paul Weller?
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller.
He's RoboCop. Got a voiceover in this. Yeah. Oh, so nice. It's just going to be
dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah, it's going to be nostalgic. It's going to be, it's just something different, but. And the other thing is, I'm looking forward to is Super Bomberman R2, which I've only looked tonight, which is on that list in our show notes that we look for the year ahead. And this is just more time that I get to play a different game with my son. So, sorry for going on, but there we go. No.
I love it. Yep. Also on my list, by the way, Garfield, apparently.
I was scrolling through there and I had to do a double take because I thought for a minute Starfield said Garfield. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? So yeah.
I would play a Garfield game. Just saying.
I would.
All right. So that's it. That's our year in review. A nice collection of games to consider, unless the disappointments maybe. But right. Yeah, no, good stuff. I love the diversity of games that we have within our collection. I could have totally seen Robin just putting a set of Corsa to every single category.
Right.
I'm proud of him for not doing so. Pat on your back, Robin. Thumbs up, asshole. all right. Kim, let's move on to some new releases.
All righty. Yeah, your new releases. And I've got a couple extra that come out earlier that apparently I didn't see the last time. Whatever. But we have the new releases for now through the 14th are, we had Toy Soldiers HD for the Switch came out on the 3rd. We Are the Caretakers for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC that came out on January 6th. Children of Silent Town for the PS5, Xbox, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 11th. Kart Rider Drift for PC, iOS, and Android, January 11th. Lone Ruin for the Switch and PC, January 12th. Vengeful Guardian, Moon Rider, the names for these things, I swear. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Switch, and PC on January 12th. Dragon Ball Z, Kakarot? Whatever. For the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S, January 13th. And One Piece Odyssey for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, January 13th as well. So there's your new releases.
All right.
Not really one in there I think I want to play. So.
No, I was just going to say, Children of Silent Town seems like it's a horror game. I could be wrong, but that's just what I think of.
Right.
Toy Soldiers, I liked it, but I mean, I liked it like 10 years ago. So there we go. Things to do coming up. 1, watch Robin race. Robin does his stream. I want to give you some props, Robin. You've been doing a great job with that. So more props to you. Catch Bongo's Bits.
Yeah. Robin Tit or Bongo's Bits. You search for either now.
All right. There we go. Halo still is a thing on Wednesday nights. We're still playing it. It's still going strong. The new maps coming in have helped. The Forge mode is awesome, but also daunting. And we're there every Wednesday, some fashion or another. And apparently Fridays, we're going to try and play some Modern Warfare 2.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah. So if you are up for that, come seek out myself and or Kim, and we'll play some Modern Warfare 2. That's all I got there. So. Woo-hoo. I think that's a show, more or less. So we'll start with some shout outs in just a second. But of course, remember, catch us on Twitch, catch us on YouTube. We will always upload an audio version of the podcast for you. We do appreciate your support. We look forward to the new year. And speaking of the new year and new things, Robin, why don't you start us off?
Well, my motto for this year is fast, faster, fastest, fall over. So, yeah, that kind of works for me as an old racer. So, yeah, I want to a quick shout out, say it's great to be back on the show and to see everybody again for 2023. I want to thank Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, as I was removing the Christmas lights from outside yesterday. I have a terrible habit of losing glasses. I buy them in bulk. And the large inflatable Rudolph outside, I was adjusting him after a storm one night, and obviously my glasses fell out of my pocket, and they were sitting below the big blow-up, so I found these here glasses yesterday. So that's one of these. Two more are out in the ether somewhere. So thank you, Rudolph, getting my Joe 90s back again.
You should do a treasure hunt with the kids just to find your glasses.
Yeah, it's a treasure, treasure hunt. So, thanks, anybody, and I'll see you next week. Oh, Kim.
All righty. Shout out to you guys. As always, it's always fun. Shout out to our chatters. We've had Lord, Boomer, and Snoogans in the chat today. So thank you guys for showing up, even though we were running a tad bit late. Shout out to my dad, who just did the chores for me. So thank God. I appreciate it, because it's almost dark, because, you know, it's 5 o'clock here and it's the Midwest and, you know, it's wintertime. So we get dark like really fucking early. So anyway, yeah, I'm excited about the new year. First live show of the year, and I'm excited about that. So hopefully it's all good for us this year. And over to Pete.
Thanks. Right, so I've got two things to mention. One,
two.
There's a newspaper that's on like local transport around the Midlands. I don't know whether it goes any further into the UK, but it's called Metro, and there was an article in there, and it mentions this tweet from @68logic, and it's about the PS5 and the position that you have the PS5 in.
Yes.
Now,
vertical is bad, apparently.
Apparently so. So I have mine in a horizontal position, and I sent this. I shared this with my brother and Ryan, who works with me, because they have theirs in a vertical position. But apparently, this person repairs lots and lots of consoles and stuff, and suggests that the liquid metal used to cool the APU, which is the accelerated processing unit from AMD, spills out. And this person @68logic on Twitter, has put this photo on and shows the damage that it causes. So if anybody's doing that, it might be something that you want to reconsider doing. And there is that funny black plate, isn't there, on the bottom of the PS5 when you have it horizontally, and it doesn't sit on it brilliantly. But as long as you keep it static, you're not moving it around too much, it's okay then. But otherwise, it's quite temperamental. It could be a bit of a pain in the ass.
I'm not the only one that has that problem, because I thought for a while that was just me, because it will not stay on the thing if you move it at all.
Yeah, there's two prongs to align it to numbers at the back of the console, and you think, oh, yeah, I got that right, but all of a sudden it slips off and you've nearly dropped it off the shelf.
So, anyway,
that's just a little bit of a tip. And talking about console repairs as well, for the front room where I'm living, because I moved the Xbox Series S upstairs into my man cave, I've got an Xbox One X that wasn't working, and I thought it was the HDMI port at the back. But there's a guy that's local to me in the Midlands, and his company is called TV Parts World, and they do TV repairs and console repairs, and they're based in Wolverhampton, which isn't a million miles from me and Mike, and their email address is TVPartsWorld@gmail.com, and I'll tell you what, they're really cheap, reliable. I took my Xbox there, got it repaired. I got it repaired in an hour. It wasn't the part at the back for the HDMI output. It was actually the microchip on the circuit board. It was the main chip. It managed to replace that, like I say, within the hour, and it didn't cost me an arm and a leg. But there's a website out there that you can go on to, TV Parts World, or consolerepairs.uk console-repairs.uk, and he's local, cheap, and that's his main bread and butter, so to speak.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, pretty good. So anyway, Over to Greg.
Okay. This podcast sponsored by TVWorldRepairs.com. Also, I will do what Pete should have done. Shout out to Shell. Happy birthday. Pete loves you. Don't forget that.
She knows that.
Great start to the new year, guys. I really appreciate the four of you or three of you coming on. I see four pictures, and I always say four of you. I just include myself. I'm giving myself a hug.
There you go.
Shout out to the people in the chat. I look forward to this coming year. I look forward to this podcast every week as much as we do it. You'd think it would get old, and it never does. So it's a good time every time. We will do it again next week. Thank you all for being here. Come again next time. We promise. We think we'll have the audio repaired.
Yep. Sorted.
Sorted-ish. That's it. We're done. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Guys. What's left of it.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
Ding.